All right, welcome back from your break, everyone. We'll start our last segment of the afternoon with To Equity or Not, the Rule of Equitable Defenses in Deconstruction Cases. Reagan Marble from Jackson Walker's San Antonio office wasn't able to be here today, and someone that you all know has volunteered to step in for Reagan. The easiest job anybody ever has is introducing Peter Hosey. If you don't know Mr. Hosey, I don't know what to do for you. He is, of course, a past chair of the Oil, Gas, and Energy Resources Law of the section of the State Bar of Texas. He's a partner in Jackson Walker San Antonio office. I invite you, if your written bio is not here, the JW website will give you several pages of publications and speeches he's delivered, all of them outstanding. This one will be no different. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you Peter Hosey.
Jasper, thanks. Appreciate it. Where's your clicker?
Oh, I think I can do this.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
All right. Well, the B team is here. Sorry, Mr. Marble had an emergency, and here we are on a Friday afternoon in the big city. We're going to talk about defenses. It says equitable defenses, and that as well, but it's more than that. As Reagan was writing, we were writing this paper. I won't take credit for it. It's all his. In the course of that came out a very good case, the Van Dyke case, which isn't really about equity per se, but about, I suppose, defense. Ladd gave a great paper on deed construction. And those are the canons of construction. We know how they work. Ambiguity is a matter of law. The issue of ambiguity is decided as a matter of law. Is it ambiguous, unambiguous, surrounding circumstances? What do I look at? But what happens when you're on the wrong end of that outcome? What other elements can be considered? How else can the consequences of the product of that instrument be ameliorated? And so we deal in this sort of tangential, the defenses. And equity, as we know from law school, it was a separate area of the law. The other night, the great movie, Man for All Seasons, with Paul Schofield as the great Thomas More, was on. And recall, he is the chancellor, and he's walking out down the hall, and he's being chased by people with chickens and geese and all kinds of accoutrements, gifts for him to make decisions on their behalf, including a chalice, which ultimately was very problematic for him. And the idea was, in the common law, we had writs. And if your case fell into a writ, good for you. And if it didn't, well, tough. And so there was developed, I guess, for lack of better terminology, the taint fair rule. And so what happens when there's no writ? And so equity, do equity, be fair, do right, rather than damages, the court orders something or keeps something from happening or orders a party not to make a claim. And in originally, these courts on the East Coast, the original colonies, were actually in separate courthouses. Of course, they aren't today, but it is a different area of the law. And so what happens when, in a particular situation, your client is a party to an instrument or facts surrounding an instrument or the operation of an oil and gas lease? And certain consequences occur that may not be advantageous to your client, what other avenues might be open? As they say, you only need one hook to hang your hat. And so we talk about estoppel. I think that's Latin for stop. That's how I always looked at it. In other words, I may have a claim, but due to my conduct, the court will not allow me to make it. Either I have misrepresented to you, either I have taken inconsistent positions. It was tomato, and then when you went relied, it was tomato. the Verzal case about an easement. You were able to use it for many years, and suddenly I locked you out.